It's a fight just to make it to the top. Gotta prove yourself. Show 'em what you got. Number one, it's a fight just to make it to the top. Gotta prove yourself and show 'em what you got. Number one, it's a fight just to make it to the top. Gotta prove yourself. Show 'em what you got. Number one, it's a fight just to make it to the top. Gotta prove yourself and show 'em what you got. Number one.
Welcome to Educators for Life, a winning world show with Shermanda. Coming to inspire, motivate, encourage, to shed light, and bring hope. We will share testimonies and share stories of people from around the world who have chosen to live triumphant lives on purpose, overcoming adversities. And now, a winning world show with Shermanda.
Gotta prove yourself and show them what you got. Number one.
James 1, 2 through 6 states, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must ask believing and not doubting, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. Today's quote is, the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. Martin Luther King Jr. Great morning, beloveds, and welcome to another week filled with winning, victory, and celebration. As always, my greetings are filled with love, hugs, and mwah, laughter, fellowship, agape-filled kisses. Life has happened to us all in great and small ways, and oftentimes it takes us by surprise, and we are left to, you know, deal with it the best way we know how. The outcome of that dealing is based on that we've been taught, that we've seen, that we've heard throughout the course of our life living. With that being said, I want you to see that I am on a mission to show forth the good in life living through bringing you stories of winning after trials and tragedy, transforming lives with the stories that allow us to hear, read, see, and tangibly perceive and relate to people overcoming adversity who are now thriving in life after tragedy is my mission of hope with love through Educators for Life, a winning world's movement and ministry. Our guest today is a walking miracle. While preparing to deploy with the U.S. Army, he suffered a severe spinal injury that left him paralyzed. Yes, his world was turned upside down. In an instant, he went from preparing for war on the battlefield to a war within his own body and mind. Family, he died and came back to life. Now an author, keynote speaker, TEDx speaker, and high-performance mindset coach to CEOs and executives, leaders, and coaches, let us welcome Marcus Aurelius Anderson. Hello, Marcus.
Well, good morning. Thank you so much for having me. That intro sounds fantastic. I'm excited to be here this morning.
Well, it is who you are, and it's great to have you. Wow. Talk about living a winning life in a winning world, my friend. You know, you are that walking miracle. You are that walking winning that we so want to convey to this world. So I do thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I think this is going to be a fantastic conversation.
I think it will, too. We met through a mutual friend, and, you know, he shared some of your story, but after talking with you, you left me walking taller, beaming brighter, you know, because you not only beat adversity, you also were joining the A Winning World family by participating here, you know, on the show as well as in the book.
Yeah, that's both going to be fantastic.
Yes, it is. Now, I want to, you know, let our audience know and hear from you for themselves. Where are you from, Marcus?
I'm from Tulsa, Oklahoma, originally.
And, you know, Bob told me that you all had, I guess, some tornadoes here in the last couple of days.
Yeah, it's I'm right in Tornado Alley here, so there's always some sort of tornadoes coming through, it seems like. But, you know, I was lucky enough to get through unscathed, and I'm here with you now, so I'm grateful for that opportunity.
Well, we're thankful that you were kept safe, and we keep you all lifted in prayer. So, Marcus, tell us about, you know, did you grow, I know you're living in Oklahoma, did you grow up in Oklahoma?
Yes, I grew up in Oklahoma, and then I moved around to different places, and then eventually, when I was in the military, I was stationed in New York, but after I went through my injury and sort of my recovery after they medically retired me, I came back to Tulsa because that was home. And that's what I needed to kind of get my feet under me, as it were, and to really kind of take stock and decide on what I wanted to do next.
Now, what was life growing up for you in Oklahoma?
Oklahoma, there wasn't a whole lot to do in a lot of ways. So I was very lucky to, I started doing martial arts when I was about 11. And that gave me a lot of direction and kept me out of a lot of the trouble and the pitfalls that seem to get people when they are in their adolescence or when they're growing up. And that gave me a lot of discipline and humility and honor, respect, and hard work ethic that all those tenets and ethos have really served me throughout my entire life. And then I went to, I went to college, but I really wasn't sure what I wanted to do. And then that's when I started changing different things around. I ended up going to chiropractic college for a few years before I joined the military as well. So that was kind of my path and my journey that led me to my real hero's journey thereafter. So that's kind of what happened for me when I was growing up.
Awesome. Now, you know, leading into, you know, what you were doing in chiropractic college, I didn't know that you had gone to school for chiropractic, you know, that service.
Yes, absolutely. I was a year and a half away from being able to finish my doctorate, as a matter of fact. And but what I did was, what happened to me was I went through a divorce, and then also my a really powerful male role model for me, my great uncle, was he passed away. So that was a pretty powerful 1-2 punch. And it kind of left me sitting there, because in chiropractic school, I was taking 25 hours of doctorate level courses. I was also working a job at the same time, full time, and I was really burning the candle at both ends. I was really stretching myself thin. And after both of those things kind of left me back at the brass tacks, and I was emotionally worn out, I was physically worn out, and I didn't have the drive to just keep going. So after my great uncle passed, he was in special forces. He was in Vietnam. He was well decorated, and seeing his funeral really helped me reignite that fire to want to go serve my country. So the next week I went down to see the recruiter to see if I could get in. And 6 months after that, I'm living the dream. I'm in infantry school, getting yelled at basic training. And so that's what kind of led me into the military thereafter.
Well, let's slow up, because I know that this was much later in life. This wasn't, you know, in your teens or your early 20s.
No.
Tell us about your going into the military and, you know, how old you were. You know, that I just love the story.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting. I went in to see the recruiter, and I just asked him straight up. I said, "So what is the age limit to get into the Army?" And he says, 35. So I immediately just turned on my heel and start walking out. And he's like, wait, come back. Come talk to me. And he said, "How old are you?" And I said, "Well, I'm 38. And so we kept talking, and I finally just said, "You know, why are you even talking to me if this is not a possibility?" And he said, "Well, I wanted to kind of feel you out and see what your motivation was and see what you were doing here." He says, "I can sign a release to get you in at 38, but that is the very top of the window." And so we had a heart-to-heart, and I was very honest with him and explained to him what my motivation was. And he said, "Well, if you get into the military now, they will push pause on your chiropractic college degree, and you can go back and finish at your pace." And, you know, I love chiropractic because chiropractic means to be done by hand. So it's very much of the idea that the power that makes the body heals the body. And I allow the body to heal itself. I don't do anything other than what the body is smart enough to do on its own. I just removed the obstruction in the central nervous system. And so when he said that and we talked, you know, we came to an agreement and he signed a release. And like I said, not long after that, 6 months later, I'm jumping out of the bus getting yelled at. And that was what was so funny. Being 38, I definitely stood out. And I was older than all of my drill sergeants. And I was, you know, competing against guys that were half my age. But that's what I really, really needed. I needed something to challenge me. I needed something to push me. And there is no greater, you know, test in our lives than some form of adversity.
Okay, well, going into, because I mean, that is just amazing that 35 is the cutoff and you made it in there at 38. And, you know, what you said that you had to tell him your reasoning. What can you share a little bit of why you wanted to be a part of the military at that point?
Yeah, that's what it was. I mean, I was divorced. I had no kids. And the whole reason why I never joined the military before was because, oh, well, I'm in college doing this, or, oh, well, I'm looking, you know, I'm dating somebody and they wouldn't, you know, be happy with me going into the military. Or, you know, if I were married, of course, I wouldn't want to join that. Or if I had kids, I would feel that that would be a little bit irresponsible to do that, at least for me, myself. But I found myself kind of at that place where I literally have a chance to kind of, for better or for worse, kind of start over. And my goal was to go serve my country the way my great uncle did and come back, finish my chiropractic degree, and then go out and serve the community with my hands and with my spirit to go out to the best of my ability. But like many things in life, there's what we hope will happen, there's what we fear will happen, and then there's what actually happens. And that's kind of what led me down the path to us speaking today.
And that's awesome because you've always had a heart and a spirit to serve, because even with your chiropractic, you're serving people in their bodies and helping them, you know, get themselves in order. So I take it that when you went on into the military, you eventually finished out getting your doctorate for chiropractic care or service?
Unfortunately, because of after my injury, even though I'm, you know, recovered, I still have numbness from the middle of my forearms to my hands and the middle of my shins to my feet. I've got neuropathy, they call it. So that's permanent nerve damage that will always be there. So if you ask me to palpate the spine or to do an adjustment on somebody right now, I may be able to do it, but I wouldn't be able to do it to a degree that would actually be, in my mind, good enough to actually help people. I've always had a very high standard of excellence in anything that I do. So when I went back to the college and talked to them and, you know, they said, listen, you know, if your hands are compromised, it's hard for you to do the job that you're supposed to do. And, you know, it made sense and I understood that. So that was sort of a closing of a door, at least on the practice of the chiropractic. But the philosophy is very much built into my moral fiber, the idea of a holistic approach, the idea of, you know, the body being healed above, down, inside and out. And that's what I still continue to do with. And like you were saying about service, even though I'm not able to serve people like I would, you know, a chiropractor can serve a 200 or 300 people in his community. The way I look at it now is I'm just able to serve humanity through a different vessel, through a different means. And I do that now by speaking and by teaching and writing and coaching. So in a lot of ways, I'm able to make a much bigger impact and reach more people with my voice than I ever would be able to do with my hands alone.
Exactly. And now leading into, because I know we kind of jumped ahead, and when I thought about it, I'm like, okay, that does make sense that you wouldn't have been able to go, you know, to finish that particular thing that you had started because of when life happened, when the incident happened in the military. So can you go into detail about what actually took place?
Absolutely. So in 2012, while I was preparing to deploy, they kept pushing our deployment back, but if you're in the infantry and you're preparing to deploy, any extra time that you have is always used to try to better your skill set, to improve your physical condition, to improve your mindset. And so our intensity and our training continued to click up and it kept escalating. And there was no specific method of onset, but what had happened was I ruptured a disc in my neck. Mm. And I look back on it now in hindsight, and I saw symptomology of a bulge in my neck, in my a long time before that, I had trouble holding on to the pull-up bar, you know, but we were outside. It was in upstate New York. It was in the middle of wintertime. So I thought, oh, the numbness in my hands is because my hands are cold. Or I would have numbness in my feet whenever we would go on ruck marches or a lot of the training. And it, the week before I had the injury, a lot of this stuff had built up. But what happened to me is I actually woke up in the morning unable to move. I woke up in my bed. Somebody was knocking on my door, and I went to roll out of bed. I went to roll out of bed, and my neck would move a little bit, but my body was stuck there. And at first, I sort of chuckled to myself. I thought, wow, I must be really sore. But then after a couple of minutes, and this is where that chiropractic training came into play, I did a very quick analysis on my body, and I thought one of two things is happening. Either I'm really sore and I'm just having trouble moving, or I'm having some sort of serious neurological event. And unfortunately, that's what it turned out to be. So luckily, they were able to come in and get me, and we were on our way down to the hospital before I could do anything else. And that's whenever everything kind of started going sideways for me.
So there was there were signs of something prior that was just it was just leading up to you exhausting too much of the muscle or too much of, you know, activity to bring this on?
Absolutely. And it, you know, I make fun of it now, but, and it sounds silly, but that's what you do if you're in the military, if you're in the infantry. If you're preparing to deploy and the life of the man next to you is in your hands, you have to train your body and you have to train your mind. So my mindset was so strong that it was actually able to push my body literally to the point of breaking and beyond, which is a powerful testament to the mind and the mindset. However, we see how it can have deleterious effects. So that's what had happened, is it somewhere just the law of attrition, where there was so much, you know, that had been built up between infantry school and advanced individualized training and all the training leading up to that. It just took a toll on my body, and eventually the disc in my neck ruptured to the point where it compressed my spinal cord so much that I could no longer move.
Oh.
And that was the actual physical reality that I had to face.
So at this point, you're paralyzed.
I'm paralyzed from the neck down, yes.
And what is going through your mind? What is happening now?
I'm scared to death at that point. I'm not sure what's going to happen. It's crazy, because as a child, I remembered having dreams where I was being chased by something, and I remember being paralyzed and not being able to speak or scream out. But I would look around, I would try to see what was around me, what was chasing me, and I could never see it. And so for me, this was essentially my worst nightmare come to life. And in a lot of ways, that dream kind of came to fruition, because I realize now that you cannot see paralysis, but you can absolutely experience it and feel it. And that's what I was doing. So in the, you know, on the way down to the hospital with the sirens blaring and everybody making a bunch of noise and getting in a gurney and being rushed in. And, you know, it's just like, unfortunately, it's just like a movie. I'm sure that if I was on the outside watching it, it would have been entertaining to see half a dozen people running with the gurney and, you know, physiologists and different doctors shining lights on my eyes and neurologists poking and prodding me and people talking about me like I'm not there. But at the time, it's, you know, I'd never even been to the hospital outside of being, you know, born. Obviously, I had bumps and bruises and stitches, but never something that was that serious. So for me, I was hoping against hope that, you know, maybe they're just overreacting. And the warrior in me was still saying, listen, I hope they can clear this up quickly, because I have to deploy. I have people that are, you know, counting on me. And so that I was still very mission focused. But and I know that that sounds funny now, but when you're training for something like that, and when you have that as a priority, that is the only thing that you see, and that's what you become laser focused on.
So you realize that, okay, I'm trying to get back to something, and I totally relate to that. I, you know, with my accident, I was trying to get back, and not until I released to realize I had to go forward. It was a fight. So, you know, what was that like when when it finally hit you that I'm not going to be able to get back to where I was?
That's what it was when I woke up in the ICU and they said, you know, listen, this is what you're going to have for the rest of your life, and you need to just, they told me, listen, if you're going to walk, it's going to happen in the next couple of days, but they said it's likely not going to happen, and you need to just kind of wrap your mind around this. So, of course, I was in denial. Of course, I thought, well, if I can overcome, you know, all the stuff I've overcome now, that I can overcome this. So that morning I was very optimistic, and the morning turned into night, and the next day came, and the next day came, and eventually it became a week. And whenever they discharged me from the ICU, that's when I really had to face the reality that, wow, this isn't something that I can just ignore and hope will go away. So I went through a lot of anger. I was angry at everyone around me, but the person I was the most angry with was myself. I turned 40 years old, broke, divorced, bedridden, and paralyzed, wondering what I do next. And I look back at all the opportunities that I had squandered. I look back at all the things in my life that I had taken for granted. I looked at all the time, talent, and potential that I had, because I assumed that I would always have that time, that talent, and that potential to do whatever I wanted to do. And like so many of us, they say you don't know what you got till it's gone. But the reality is we know what we have. It's just that we assume that we will always have it. And that is not the reality in life. Anything that we have can, you know, sometimes something can happen in an instant that can change our lives forever. And much like yourself, I went through that phase where I was trying to figure out. I felt like I was being punished, almost like I had been given 40 years to do something magnificent with my life, and I just didn't work on it. Wow. After 3 months of being in that very, very angry stage, I woke up one morning and realized that the anger wasn't serving me, and that I had to find something to counteract all the anger that I was feeling. And for most people, the opposite of anger is love, but for me, the opposite of anger turned out to be gratitude. And it was very hard to find anything to be grateful for, but what I had to do is I took myself out of the equation, and I stopped thinking about me, 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 and I. And I tried to find anything to be grateful for. And what eventually happened was I realized that if I had been deployed with the infantry overseas at the time of this injury, which this injury was inevitable, If that had happened then, that I would have put my team in danger. I would have put my squad in danger. I would have put the rescue team in danger. I would have put the medical team in danger, the helicopter in danger. In all, there would have been dozens of people whose lives would have been put in harm's way if I'd have suffered this injury overseas.
And, you know, I know we talked about that when we first met, and one of the things that I hear in that, which is powerful, because you said it takes two men for every man that goes down.
Absolutely.
So it would have taken two to have to get you out of there, which would have put them in more arm's way. But I figured, you know, what I told you that I was hearing, that you also saved, you know, your life was saved as well, only because you could have been in a foreign place and, you know, medically the equipment and the knowledge and wisdom that was needed to sustain you may have been jeopardizing your life as well. So on all hands, God showed up, and there was a purpose and a plan. And now we're moving into that purpose and a plan of your winning life. What is taking place now? Because I know you're not paralyzed any longer. So that's the miracle, you know, but you're doing some amazing things. So can you go into that winning part?
Absolutely. And that's what it was. I mean, everybody talks about gratitude, and it's a big buzzword, but the reality is people go through and they are grateful for the things that they like. But in this life, you cannot just cherry pick the things that you like and then have gratitude towards only those things. You have to learn to be grateful for everything in your life, both the good and the bad, because the good things will encourage you, while the not so good things will reaffirm the positive things that are already happening in your life. And it's an opportunity for us to grow. So for me, once I had that small cornerstone of gratitude, I was able to build on it. And then a week after I started seeing my adversity as a gift instead of a curse, once I started being grateful, truly grateful for everything, from the bed I may never leave to the people that were helping me, a week after that is when I started getting feeling back in my fingers and toes.
Wow.
And that's when that's what I've done with my life ever since then, is I've lived my life with this urgency to empower others, to help empower other people as well. So that's what my life's purpose is now, is to help others with my speaking, with my writing, with my coaching, and to help them understand that, listen, it takes action, and the diversity is a gift as long as you're willing to see the lesson within it.
Yes.
The problem for most of us is it's really hard for us to see the lesson and the wisdom in the heat of battle.
Isn't that something? There's another quote that I love from Martin Luther King that goes around that same, you know, how you say adversity is a gift, is change does not roll in on the wheels of inevitability, but comes through continuous struggle. So, you know, with struggle and, you know, a consciousness, change happens, and you became conscious in this space and in this time.
That's absolutely it. And the reality is we are only as strong as the adversity that we overcome.
Come on. Exactly. Well, I want to tell you, Marcus, it has been a joy and a pleasure to have you. I mean, I know there's much more. So you all that are listening, you can purchase our A Winning World book. There's more stories, more of Marcus's story that you will hear. Deuteronomy 31:8, it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. It is easy to become fearful. You know, as Marcus has shared with us, as I know that I've gone through with my adversities, and, you know, some doubt will happen when life will come about when life happens. But those with a foundation, and not just any foundation, but a firm, solid, rooted foundation of truth and hope, are those that arise out of the ashes stronger, standing taller, and shining brighter, not for ourselves. You know, as Marcus stated, it's not for him. He's gone through for others, and that is actually it. But, you know, for those that are needing encouragement, lifting, and being inspired to see, to believe, and ultimately do the same by taking a hold of the hope and the truth that, you know what, life happened, but it happened for me, not to me. Without God, I can do nothing. And to tell you that you won't do, you know, have doubt, you won't, you know, have some fears, it would be untruthful. But having the right word spoken over you, into you, from reading and from hearing the words of others and those around you is key. Be mindful of who you have in your circle and speaking into your lives. I leave you with one of my last quotes of the day. If you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you do, you have to keep moving forward. So with that, I say, have a beautiful, safe, winning, light, shining week. Marcus, thank you again.
Thank you so much. I loved it.
Yes. And to all of our listening audience, we'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining A Winning World with Shermanda. Do you have a story or testimony and would like to be considered for an interview on the show? Connect on Facebook at A Winning World or Educators for Life, or visit Shermanda.com. Telephone 904-533-5222 or email connect at educators4life.com. Tune in next week for more winning stories on A Winning World with Shermanda.
Number one.